Welcome everyone to the Big Book Workshop 2025. This is week 15 of the recording. Today's topic is step three, made a decision. A reminder that this is a Big Book Workshop. We are not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship. However, we do try to follow the spirit of the 12 traditions. We only wish to be helpful. The goal of these steps is a transformation, a change in the way we think, feel, and behave. This is a way of living that brings peace, forgiveness, and joy. May you find some of that here with us. Welcome, 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 everyone. My name is Joanne, and I am your facilitator and step guide today. Please join me as we take a moment of centering ourselves. So for me, I close my eyes and I find that diaphragm breath, and maybe I roll my shoulders and just think about my environment. Is the door closed? Am I ready to go? Is the radio off? Is there quiet? And then when you're ready, closing your eyes and taking a deep breath, feeling that diaphragm breath. Letting go of everything, the busyness that's gone on before now, all the busyness that goes on in our day. Letting go of all the worry about tomorrow and what's going to happen and here and everywhere we have to go and have to be. Just for this moment, we let go of what's happened before now and we let go of what's happening after now. And we actively bring ourselves into this moment in time, into this space. And we lean in with that set-aside prayer. And every time I say the set-aside, I change the words, the words to the prayer. So please just breathe in and listen and embrace the change. Because it wakes us up when we change the words. We don't want to fall asleep. We want to wake up. God, please set aside everything I think I know about who I should be. Everything I think I know about who you should be. Everything I think I know about these 12 steps, my spiritual path, and you. Please open my heart. Please open my mind. And allow me to have a brand new experience. Please, right here, right now, with who I should be and who you should be, release me from that. Allow me to have a new understanding of these 12 steps, my spiritual path, and my connection to you, that daily connection to spirit. Open my heart for something new. Thank you so much, everyone. Welcome, welcome. I invite you to open your eyes. And Carla, when you're ready, if you would mind doing the greeter script, I don't see you on the screen, but if we could start with that. Welcome, everyone, to our greeter, who is Carla. Welcome, Carla.
Thank you, Joanne. Welcome, everybody. We're so excited to have everyone back and all of our new attendees today. Welcome. I'm Carla H., and I'm your greeter today. Welcome to our Big Book Workshop. And if you will open your chat, I'm putting in a welcome pack. This is free to download and includes information about this workshop, links, and other helpful podcasts. For those of you on the telephone today, this welcome pack is also available on our website, www.bigbookworkshop.com. And if you're having any technical difficulties or have any other questions, please let me know in the chat. And you will need a big book, a pen and paper for today's workshop. Enjoy the meeting and thanks for this opportunity of service. I'll pass it back to you, Joe. Thanks so much.
Thank you, thank you. And I was just looking for my PowerPoint. So I still haven't got that up. So I just might take a moment to come to Pass the Basket. I keep forgetting to do Pass the Basket. So maybe I need to put it at the beginning for a moment. Lynn, this group is run via donations. We ha host two Zoom rooms. We have the website. We have to pay for web security because there's some issues with that. So, and we have admin software that sends out phone telephone reminders and things like that, and helps us with the homework emails. So, if you're not getting the homework email and you're not getting the text message, or you are getting the text message and you want us to stop doing it, talk to either Lynn or Carla, and we'll pass it on and do that. But we rely on donations. That's the only way that we manage. Go ahead, Lynn, if you would mind. Is there a script I forget? Welcome. Did I just say it?
Thanks. You just said it and I posted it in the chat.
So
Thanks.
thank you, thank you. So just to do that, in terms of announcements, in about 4 weeks, I am coming to California from Melbourne, Australia. That's pretty exciting. I think there are still some rooms available. We've had some movement there. There's a double room and some singles still available. So if you are near California or you want to come for the weekend, please do. I will be there with Herb for the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It is not a 12-step fellowship meeting. It's a retreat where we share this kind of inventory work, people from all walks of life. Much is what we do here today, but it's not particular to any fellowship. It's just, how do I release this burden? How do I talk to people? How do I move on with my life? That's what the steps give us. That's what this methodology gives us. That's what the community gives us. So do consider that. I think that's the only announcement, really. The thing coming up, and I will that's in the chat. So what I'm going to do now is bring up a PowerPoint. A lot of us have seen this before. We've been repeating it over the previous few weeks. Step one, two, and three. We've been looking at step two. Last week, we looked at the qualities that we would want from a power. What are those qualities? Is that what we did last week? Am I right? And we did those qualities and then we did that discussion. And then we looked at what is the relationship that we would want. Right, we asked ourselves, what do you want? What do you believe? Is what we asked. What do you believe about this word God? Power, higher power, mystery. What is your belief? And we asked you to write it down, and that's daunting. I mean, who knows? So if you're new and you want to take a moment, write something down. It doesn't matter what it is. And you're just walking in the door. Who knows? Who knows? But just write something down. What do I believe about God? Because the steps, they use that word all the time. So when we've got a problem with that word, we got to look at it. What's the problem? Look at changing the word. What is the essence of it? What do I believe that I can use? Yeah, it's not really a theoretical debate. It's asking, what do I believe? What do I believe? What do I actually believe? And then we did an activity where, and the recording isn't available yet, but it will be. So if you weren't there, it's not long. It will come up probably this weekend. We did an activity where you look at the qualities that you would want from that power. Things like ever present, loving, unconditional. What kinds of qualities would you want from a power? And then we asked ourselves, what kinds of relationships? What would I like as a relationship? The big book names five relationships. For example, father or mother. For example, director. So I'm the actor in the play and there is the director. So these are relationships, a form of relationship. What relationship are you is going to be effective for you? Some people use coach, guide, lover, like trusted parent, like a healthy parent. What is a relationship that you think would be healthy for you? It can be different to the person next to you, and you can change your mind next week. You're not locked in. We make a decision. Well, what am I making a decision about? So we get clear. And then at the end of that workshop last week, we asked ourselves a very important question, because now we've got what I believe, we've got a couple of qualities that we think we would like, and we've got a relationship. Okay? And then you ask yourself the final question, which of that day, which is, what does my behavior tell me about what I believe? So if I said that I believe I have unconditional love from a parent, like the relationship is that of a parent, what is my behavior telling me? Am I behaving as if I have that healthy relationship around all the time, unconditionally loving me? Or am I punishing myself? Right? So that, what is my behavior telling me about what I believe? Now, we're not going to see it all at once, but it's a beautiful meditation to consider, what does my behavior tell me? And I ask many times during this workshop, did you meditate today? So I'm going to do it right now. I'm looking at you with my glasses on. Did you meditate this morning? Put your hand up if you did. Everyone, now leave your hand up. Okay, so look around. Did you meditate before you looked at your phone? It's like the hardest thing in the world. Did you meditate before you looked at your phone? If you didn't, lower your hand, right? So lower your hand. So what we plug into is the power. So we make a choice. Am I going to plug into the power of drama? Those of us with baffling behavior, that's what I'm describing myself. I say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And then bang, I'm doing it again. Like, what's going on, right? Those of us with any kind of history of baffling behavior, any sort of overwhelm, and then I behave in a way and I don't want to do it. I'll never do it again. I don't do it again. Don't do it. Don't do it. And bang, I'm doing it. Like, don't yell, don't yell, don't yell. Bang, I'm yelling. Right? Anyone had that? Don't do it. Don't tell them. Don't tell them. Don't tell them. And you're blurting it out again. Right? You're telling them. And it's like, don't do it. And then I'm doing it again. Bless, bless, bless. Bless, bless, bless. This is not a punishment. This is not good or bad. It's just not effective. We're living in a reactive body with a reactive spirit, and we're probably living in self-reliance. Every day, those of us that have this baffling behavior, we plug into power. Every day you are plugging into power, whether you like it or not, because I'm powerless and so I plug into power. And then you get a choice. What is the power you are going to choose to plug into today? Is it the power of drama? Because drama gives me adrenaline. That gives me a sense of power when I plug into drama. When I plug into yelling at you, control, judgmental, it gives me adrenaline, so it's giving me power again. What is the power that I'm going to choose to plug into today? Because I plug into power whether I like it or not. And so we make a choice. And I ask that question often. What did you meditate today? Just ask yourself. You don't need me. Just remind yourself. When we don't meditate, it tells us, my behavior is telling me I don't believe in meditation. My behavior is telling me I'm leaning into my power. When I look at the mobile phone and the news and the drama before I meditate, my behavior is telling me that I'm plugging in to drama for power. I need power, and I'm getting it from worrying about you or the world or whatever's going on. That's my source of power. So we practice. And I like to just, it's not good or bad. We are not good or bad. We're just living our life and we're not always effective. I have a reactive body. It's not my fault. I have brown hair. It's not my fault. I was born this way. Some of us develop trauma responses. Some of us have trauma experiences. It just is. It's not good or bad. It just is today. Some of it is very tragic, but I can't ignore it. I didn't choose to be this way. This is the way I am today. What choices do I have today? I can choose to meditate before I look at my phone today. Make a choice. You chose to be here at a meeting. Thank you. Right? Make a choice. Grab a pen. I invite you and write things down. You're making a choice to engage. It doesn't matter what you write. Right? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you pray. It doesn't matter what you pray to. Did you do it? That matters. So today we're moving. Last week was that step two question. And today we're reviewing and moving into step three. And we're going to look at the third step prayer. It's on page 63. We're going to say that prayer together. Not right away. I'll just do some PowerPoint before we do that. And we're going to ask questions around spirit, around step two. We're going to explore it because there is doubt. There is doubt. And there is confusion. And there is also, that phrase that I shared last week or the week before. God is not a codependent. If you haven't heard me say that, write it down. I think I shared it last week. It's sad and funny and overwhelming at the same time. Whatever that mystery is, it's bigger than me and it's bigger than us and it doesn't change. Right? So if this was that spirit and this is me, I float around because I'm human. And I get disturbed by so many things. Look, if this was the spirit and this is me and I'm over here, I'm out of balance, right? I'm here. The God can't doesn't come down and pick me up because look what happens to it. It changes. And it's now out of alignment. In order to pick me up, it's out of alignment. It's ever present, and my job is to use that relationship and that spirit and to magnetize, like to bring me back up into alignment with spirit. The spirit doesn't move. I move. I'm human and I get out of balance. And so we look at our behavior. This is a program of action. What can I do today? These small actions. What can I do? Today we're taking step three together. We're breathing in and you aren't going to know everything. You're not going to like doubt. We all have doubt, but we show up and we take action and we begin the work of inventory and the work of the steps. Sometimes what's blocking me from some confidence or some awareness or some spiritual movement is some of those inventory work. Like I might be blocked by fear, by resentment. Maybe I resent the word God and the people that there's some history and I resent it. So moving into the inventory work can help to clear the clouds that block me from the sunlight of the spirit. So if I wait until I feel good about it, I may never move. We may never feel good. Remember what we talked about. Transformation is a change in the way we think, feel, and behave. Write it down if you haven't written it down already. Transformation, this is from William James and probably before him, was that psychologist back in 1900, and he talked and Bill read his book, Varieties of Spiritual Experience, and said this is a co-founder of our fellowship. This is a spiritual experience that we can build on, that can the world can build on. Transformation is a change in the way we think, feel, and behave. Right? But it happens backwards, everyone. We change our behavior even though we don't feel good about it, and we don't think, we don't understand it, but we change our behavior. We change our behavior, and eventually we start to feel different. Herb K. describes that feeling different as a thawing out, like melting. The ice around us melts, and we start to feel emotions. Sometimes those are good emotions, and sometimes those aren't so good emotions, like we thaw out. And then the last part, finally, maybe we start to understand it. Or we start to have different understandings around what's going on. You know, so we often in disease, because we're in self-reliance, we want to understand it. And then we want to feel good about it, and then I will do it. Recovery happens backwards. We do it, and maybe we feel, you know, some love or some anxiety or some nervousness. We start to feel emotions. They're not always good. We open our door for grief, but there's also that door opens for love. You know, the heart opens up. And then we have the thinking. We start to understand it differently. So let's jump into some of this PowerPoint and then get into some big books. So we're going to be reading from the big book. I just will. Where's my PowerPoint? Just put this PowerPoint on the screen. I'm just can't see it yet. Oh, here it is. All right. So. That's just the first page. That's our website. And why isn't it moving? And on the screen is the set-aside prayer. I change the words. Remember in step 12, now we're not into step 12, but when we start, we kind of have a look at where are we going? Why are we here? And step 12 reminds us, having had a spiritual awakening, right? And then the step goes on, but that awakening is reminds me that I fall asleep every day, 100 times a day. I fall asleep as a woman, as a mother, as a daughter, as a colleague at work, as a boss, as an employee, as a community member in fellowship. I fall asleep. And that isn't great for me because I'm baffled by my behavior. So waking up, this is what we do. We wake up. The set-aside prayer is a chance every day for me to practice steps 1, 2, and 3. But it's not effective if I say the same words every time, because then I fall asleep. Anyone notice that when you say the same prayer or the same words every time, you fall asleep? All right, that is not what we want. We want to wake up. The set-aside prayer contains within it steps 1, 2, and 3. It gets me on the path, reminds me that I am not the path, and it reminds me that decision that I make to let go and to breathe in and to show up on my path. But we change the words every time. So I won't say what's on the screen. It's just another version of that set-aside prayer. And here you see Bill W. There's an image of him from the 1951. Don't make a project out of working the steps. I just am tickled pink by this phrase. I don't know why. I just love it because it's like he knew me. I make a project out of everything. Anyone else identify that we get out of beam, we get overexcited, we get into workaholism, or we have a new passion or a new love or a new hobby, and bang, 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 we get everything. We have to do it all. You know? Or we do nothing. Sloth. He is like he was talking to me, and he says, "Don't make a project out of working the steps." And he reminds us in this quote that every single day, whether we like it or not, whether we give permission to or not, every single day, we're working all 12 steps. We're just not always very effective. Every day we work all 12 steps, everyone. So let's say, what step are you? I'm on step one. It's like, that gives you permission to ignore the rest of the work. No. Every day you work all 12 steps, whether you like it or not. That's why I invite you to meditate and to think about what you're doing when you pause. Because we plug into power every day. Every day. Today you plug into power whether you like it or not. And we make a choice. And that's what this kind of workshop does. It gives you a choice. It gives you more understanding of what you're doing. So the quote from Bill W, "Don't make a project out of working the steps. Go through your day being the sort of person you would like to be, trying to help someone else and making sure you don't hurt anyone. And when you get to the end of your day, review the 12 steps and you will find that you have worked all of them." All right. So I won't go into this is step one. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. And this word alcohol, we break it into two parts, the body and the mind. And the word unmanageable breaks into the will, willpower. Our life becomes unmanageable because I'm just trying to use my willpower to fix it. Self-reliance, right? I get stuck. So, the body, once I start, I cannot stop. That's a physical reactivity to process addictions and substance addictions, process dependencies, substance dependencies. Right? It's confusing. Sometimes there's chronic use and sometimes intermittent use. So, it can be confusing because I don't always know. And I invite you just change the word, just change the word and play around. We admitted we were powerless over my neighbors, right? That my life has become unmanageable. So play around with the word and see what helps you, what fits, what works. Know. We talked about the dash. This dash reminds us that Bill's being dramatic when he's writing this step one. Unmanageability is always present, it's always there, just waiting. It's a dramatic example of this first part. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol. It's drama. It's a flair. Bill W. had flair in the way that he writes. Listen to any of his writings or any of his speech. The dash is telling us that this unmanageability is there all the time. No matter what my life looks like on the outside, no matter what my body looks like, no matter how much money I have in the bank or how many cars I have in the garage, no matter how my life looks, it hangs in a precarious balance. The relationships hang, my happiness hangs, the people around me hang, because at any moment I can lose balance, lose that sight. It all falls down. And I go back. And we talk about the cycle of addiction. This is from the doctor's opinion in the big book. And there's this cycle, a hamster wheel. We go round and round and round. We make a firm resolution. I'm never going to call that person again, ever. I'm never going to do it. I'm never going to do it. And then we get irritable, restless, and discontent, and we do it again, right? I'm never going to date someone like that again. I'm never going to have an unhealthy partner again. I'm never, ever going to do it. And I swear to God, I swear to the spirit, I swear to you. And I mean it. The New Year's resolution, I'm going to get up every morning at 5 a.m. and write in for that novel, right? I swear it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And we don't, right? We get stuck in that hamster wheel. And what we're looking at there is self-reliance. For people with this history of baffling behavior, self-reliance doesn't work. We lean into power. That was the mystery that William James was describing. Throughout cultures, throughout history, throughout different faith and different experiences, people here and there had managed to change their life. And what was the similarity? What was going on? A change in the way they think, feel, and behave. a spiritual transformation, a total rearrangement of their guiding principles. That's what we're trying to achieve with these steps. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. It has to be greater than me. Now, for some of us that have that atheist background, you're welcome. It doesn't, there's many ways and many cultures. This is recovery from alcoholism was the original idea. And people throughout history and cultures and experiences and life have managed to achieve it. How do they do it? For some of us, it's I like to use, I think it's inclusive to talk about the whispering voice. For some of us, that voice is that God voice, that beautiful God voice that whispers in my mind. Right? And that calamity, that noisy voice that is anxiety and depression, and that noisy voice, not depression, there's biology for depression too, but that voice that says you're no good, I'm no good, I'm going to suffer, they wouldn't want to hear from me. And that voice that tells me to give up. Or that pushes me to push. You have to tell them. I have to tell them what I think they should do. Right? Or that voice that tells me so many things and it's loud. So the self-reliance voice yells at me. The big book describes it as calamity, the noisiness of life. Sometimes it is real, the drama of life. We have illness, we have sickness, we have family members that struggle, or maybe we're caring for relatives that are ill. I can't run away. It's just life. It's just not comfortable. And I don't handle that. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. We let go of self-reliance. But I have to do this many times a day, many, many times a day. But how? This is again the change in the way we think, feel, and behave. How do we do that? This is not a self-help program. And I just really want to put that out there because every day, many times a day, you will be encouraged to go into self-regulate yourself better. I'm going to teach you how to self-regulate. Well, that doesn't work for me. I don't think the person that is teaching that has any idea of my history. Right? I don't know about you, but I have a history of really unhealthy behavior. Why did I do that? I don't know. I'm baffled. We read Jim the car salesman. He lost his family. He lost his job. He lost his family business. He lost all his money. He lost his kids. He lost everything. And then he started to get sober. You know what? He got a job at the same place where he used to be the boss. Well, now they gave him a job. He got his wife. His wife came back. His kids came back. He's getting sober. He's getting healthy. And then one day, right? One day he decided to put whiskey in the milk. Because if I put milk in the whiskey, it wouldn't hurt me on a full stomach. That crazy, that insane behavior. So what believe could restore me to sanity. Sanity is what we pray for. But I'm powerless to stay there. I need power every day. So ask yourself again, did you meditate today? Because if you're leaning into the power God of telephone, it's not that great. Drama is only going to take you so far. We need something bigger than that to help, to manage and to lean into life. The two examples were Jim, the car salesman, who suddenly decided that if he had whiskey on a full stomach, he would be fine. Hello. And the other example is Fred, the accountant. Okay, Fred had a beautiful day. He did a business deal. It worked successfully. Everything was fantastic. And then he drank. Not a single thought. Just suddenly picked up. Some of us have no idea why we pick up. We just suddenly picked up, right? I suspect I'd love to go back in time and meet Fred because I reckon he was a process addict just like me. And that he was picking up in those process addictions and thinking, I'm sober, so I'm fine. FINE. Effed up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. Fine. You know, he was managing. I'm managing just like that precarious balance we just talked about. At any moment, bang, it's gone, you know? So I gave you an image. If you're new and you haven't seen that image, have a draw it, write it down. I'm not joking. Every time you write, it encourages the brain to learn. It encourages the memories to move from short-term memory to long-term memory. So it helps. The square wheels. So the idea here is self-reliance. It's ferocious. That person is holding the steering wheel ferociously. Anyone identify with that ferocious grip that we have on our life? I'd certainly do. Yeah. Let ferocious. That's what this person is doing, ferociously holding on. That's what we do. And we all do it. It's not good or bad. It's a survival mechanism. For some of us, it dates back to childhood. Like it's there's reasons. It keeps us safe, and it's the best that we had when we were kids. Right? It's a survival mechanism to hold on and just manage. But today we're adults in this room, in this group, and our lives are struggling. 'Cause look at that vehicle. I'm damaging the road. Ba bump, ba bump, ba bump with my square wheels. I'm damaging the people around me. I'm damaging the community that around me. I'm holding on. And also that car, I think, is gonna, it looks fast, like it's a car. It looks like it will go quick. But I don't know where I'm gonna end up. And I pretty much think the car's gonna break down. I'm not gonna get to wherever it is I think I'm going. The alternative that I get people to think about is a truck. It doesn't move so fast, but it's got those wheels that move, and it's useful because that's the promise of that big book, that we become useful. See, a change in the way we think, feel, and behave. It's not about me. I become useful. I became useful. I am useful today. Just being sober, I am useful. It may not benefit me. Usually it does because the chaos and everything, but it's not why I'm here. I am not showing up to benefit myself. I'm showing up because I honestly pray to be useful today. It's a joy and a prayer and a grace and a gift to be useful. That's what this vehicle is. It's useful. The other thing going on is I don't have to hold on tight to that wheel. Sometimes the road is going to take me in a different direction that I didn't realize, and it's going to be okay. The person I use, if you'd want to do a little arrow coming out of it, the idea of GPS, the positioning system that we have in our vehicles that tells us where to go. In this vehicle, the truck that is using that reliance on something other, we're listening to the voice. We listen. And the voice is saying, turn left, turn left. And even though I meditated that morning, it's now 10 a.m. and I haven't had my cup of coffee, and the people at work are pissing me off. And you know, something's really itchy, and my elbow hurts from that injury. And I'm like, I'm distracted, the calamity, and I don't turn left. My whispering voice was saying, turn left, and I didn't do it. It's not because I'm good or bad. I'm just living my life, and I got distracted by calamity every day. But the difference when you're in this vehicle here is you can just pause and reevaluate, just breathe in, listen to that voice, listen. What is it saying? Because you know what my vehicle does when it's got that GPS going? It does a funny voice and it says, recalculating. Does yours do that? It says recalculating, and now it says, hey, I actually want you to go straight. Like it changes. The voice, that whispering voice is what we lean into and trust that even if I get off course, it recalculates. Where do I need to go now? Forget the past. Forget the future. What is the healthy, loving thing for me to do today, right now? And we listen and we take actions, small, 5 minutes. Sometimes it's, what can I do for the next 5 minutes? This is the process of leaning into power. So how I behave tells me what I believe. We look at what our feet are telling us. What is my behavior telling me about my belief? And an easy way to look at that is, how often are you meditating and what does it look like? Did you meditate before you looked at your phone in the morning? So page 84, 85, it talks about the proper use of the will. I'm a very willful person. I don't know about you, but I'm very opinionated and I get very willful. The proper use of the will. It's a magnificent grace to be willful, to have power, like that little, but we redirect it. The proper use of the will is to ferociously pick up a pen. So right now, pick up a pen and think about, we're going to do a meditation. I'm inspired. Let's do a quick meditation around what is the loving thing for me to do today, and use your willpower to focus on the meditation just for like 30 seconds. Ask yourself, what is the loving thing for me to do today? In the time that I have left, we have limited time. Today, we have limited time on this planet. What is the loving thing for me to do today? And just lean into that question and use that willpower to take a pen and a piece of paper, even though you don't want to, and to write something down. Sometimes that loving thing is to have a cup of tea. And sometimes the loving thing is to put our headphones on and go for a walk and do the dishes. You know? What is the loving thing for me to do today? Just ask yourself. This kind of pausing and reevaluating and recalculating, this is what we build into our day. Our disease behavior is ready, fire, aim. Ready, go, set. It should be ready, set, go, right? But instead, we think about doing something, we do it, and then we consider the consequences. That is disease behavior. Recovery behavior is getting things in that right order, where we get ready, we consider something, we talk about it, and it might take a month or two of consideration, but then we take action. So moving today, we're moving into step three. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care. See that word care? I want you to highlight that word, the care of God as we understood him. When we last week were looking at qualities, the qualities of that power that we were looking at, the qualities and then the relationship, the qualities of that power need to include care, please. Some of us grew up in punishment. We felt that we were being punished or deserved to be punished, or there's a fear-based power, a conditional love. If you do this, then I will love you, from the power. If you are good, then you will be safe. Okay, that sometimes comes from trauma, sometimes comes from our learning or the people around us. Maybe we picked it up culturally. There's different places. In this experience that Bill W. is laying out for us, the spiritual experience, the journey that we are on, it's making a choice to have a connection to something that cares. Okay, it has to have that element of care, please. Okay, and we make a decision, a choice. So I think with that, I am going to pause. We make a choice, and we've got the choice of self-reliance or leaning in, and we get to do it many, many, many times again. There's a question in the chat for me to say, what does fine stand for? I don't generally, it's swearing, but it's like F is to be effed up. I'm not going to say what that is. You know what that is. Fine stands for effed up. So just messed up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. You know, you ever told anyone, how are you? I'm fine, thank you very much. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. And you're not fine. All right? You're not fine. So that was that word there. So on page 25, so I might get our first reader, if you would mind raising your hand, just anyone who wants to read. We've got a timer as well. So we're going to read this paragraph on page 25 of the big book. Anyone can raise their hand if you don't mind. I think I can see you. Katie, I see your hands. I'll call on you first. Open your big books, guys. We're going to be reading from a page 25 to start with, and then we're going up to page 63. I'll tell you what to read, the paragraph we're reading. So Katie's going to read this paragraph that's on the screen. For those of you that don't have your book, I'll leave the screen on there so you can just read it from that. And then share for up to 2 minutes, and our timer will let you know when the timer's up. I think you are unmuted. Let me just find you. There you go.
Hi, Joe. Good to see you. I'm so happy to see you and everyone else. If you are as seriously alcoholic as we were, we believe there is no middle of the road solution. We were in a position where life was becoming impossible. And if we had passed into the region from which there is no return through human aid, we had but two alternatives. One was to go on to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best as we could, and the other to accept spiritual help. This we did because we honestly wanted to and were willing to make the effort. Well, that touched me. There was a part of that that touched me about accepting help. Spiritual help. I definitely don't always see it that way, though I ask for help every day. But I don't. There was an opening that happened when I read that where I felt like, oh, like a turning of accepting spiritual help. Like there's the asking part for me. I know I need help, like into the region from which there is no return through human aid. Like I am learning that. And so I ask for help, but then I keep going, like going in my life. And when I read accepting help, accept spiritual help, it felt different. And I'm learning to trust, like taking a pause and trusting that there's a bigger plan or a bigger picture, which it's little by slowly, like I'm opening up, but it takes time. And I know that I'm not always patient. I'm not patient a lot of the time with the process, but I am getting more patient. I'm getting more patient. Yeah, that's what I have. So thank you so much for this. And I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. I didn't mention that.
Thank you. Thank you, Katie. Thank you so much. Fiona, we're coming to you. I'm going to stop the screen share so I can see everyone. I'll just get you unmuted when you're ready, Fiona. And we're moving to page 63. And we're going to just spend a moment looking at the third step promises. So each of the steps in the big book open up promises. So a change and the way that our life changes. In this paragraph, it starts with the words when we. I haven't got my book in front of me, but do you see that paragraph, Fiona? When we? So I want you to read that. And we're actually only going to be reading that paragraph. So each of you that have your hand up, please leave your hands up. We're going to be reflecting on the paragraph and the promises from that come from step three and that activating that in our lives. Welcome, Fiona. Go ahead.
Thanks, I'm Fiona, compulsive overeater, alcoholic, amongst other things. When we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer. Being all powerful, he provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his works well. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. More and more, we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. As we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, or the hereafter. We were reborn. Well, I feel like I've never read that paragraph before, but I must have read it lots of times. But reading it slowly in a very focused way, so many promises. And the idea of being interested in contributing rather than interested in myself seems really appealing. I'm so self-obsessed. And facing life successfully and without fear, I really welcome those promises. And I, you know, I have had in the last few weeks like moments of being connected and then seeing the opportunity to be present in my life and be helpful to somebody else when I'm not so obsessed with myself and what I want and how I want it and when I want it. And it is this just beautiful feeling of wonder, actually, going like I never would have seen that as a possibility. But when I just stop and open myself up to what's meant to be the next right thing according to God as opposed to myself, then it's often more beautiful than I would have come up with. Well, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Fiona. Justine, welcome. So we're staying on this paragraph, Justine. So you just reflecting on those third step promises as you see them in the paragraph. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi, it's Justine. I'm a sober member of AA. We were now at step three. Many of us said to our Maker as we understood him, God, I offer myself to
I'll just
thee.
get you to pause for a minute. We're not going to read on, if you could reflect on the same paragraph that Fiona just
Oh,
read. So,
sorry.
no. Just beautiful. We don't want to go into the prayer yet. So
Okay.
just listen at, like, can you hear the promises in the paragraph that Fiona just read? When we sincerely took, I haven't got it in front of me, but yeah, do you see that and reflect on those promises in your life today? How would they show up and what do you see?
I am so challenged with this. In desperation, I come back to this all the time because when I'm, making an obvious a schmozzle of my life, I get desperate and I come back and I ask for guidance because I'm at a complete loss with how my life is going. But I always find myself gradually taking back the power. I, yeah. I'd love to be in this permanent state. I'd love to have that, that trust. Like I am that person in that car clumping along, and when the car explodes, when it's obvious I'm not getting there, I'll hand it over, and then my life becomes a lot simpler. But oh my God, it's just the way I am conditioned. I'm so not cured. And this is why I'm here again as well. Like I guess I've got to pray for that willingness to keep handing over and to trust. That's where I really struggle. It's trusting. So that's sort of my I'm not doing too well with this step through business, but I'm here and listening, so thank you for asking me to share.
Justin, you are so welcome. So we're going to do an activity in a minute, so we've got two hands up. I'm just going to ask if our timer could cut the time a little bit, so we just do 1 minute each. And so we're coming to Sandy O first, and then Gloria, welcome.
Hi, thank you, Joe and everyone. Thank you for all the shares. Sandy, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. I have all, well, I just, I highlighted this. When we sincerely took a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. So that really touched it, because it is so true. Like, and the day just flows. When I stop and I meditate and I ask, he provided what we needed if we kept him close and performed his work well. So listening to his guidance. So I do know, and it's a lot different, you know. I can remember back when I only have a minute. I can't go way back. All I'm going to say right now is that laughter is more easy today in my struggles. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Sandy. Gloria, welcome. Thank you, Sandy.
I am Gloria. I'm a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I have a cold. What I have highlighted and written all over is, you know, that he provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work. You know, I can only stay close through prayer and meditation, and he will provide what I need, but not always what I want. And that's my self-reliance kicking in when I'm objecting to what I get. And I like that it says that we became more and more interested in seeing what we can contribute to life, because I know when I do that, everything works better. When I'm more worried about what I can give than what I, you know, what I want to get. So I'm just loving all of this, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Gloria, and we wish you to get well and have speedy recovery. Okay, so what we're going to do now, we're going to look at page 63. There's a prayer on that page, and I think, was it Justine, started getting into that prayer with her eagerness. We're going to look at it now. So I think I have it on the screen share, so I'll put it back on there, but have a look at this prayer. Some of, at the moment, we're not going to take the prayer right now. What I want you to do, we're going to do an activity where we rewrite the prayer, where we change some of the words. And I invite you to do it, even if you like the prayer as it is. I quite like the these and the thous. I don't know why. It makes me feel more official, kind of quaint or something. I don't know why. I like it. It comforts me. But there are people, you could easily change that language. This is a prayer as it's written in the big book. If you want to, our activity today is to change the words. Look at this prayer. Waking up is part of what we need to do one day at a time. We wake up. So let's look at this prayer and change the words. You don't have to use it. Your words don't have to be perfect. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. That is a third step prayer. So I invite you to consider, how would you change that? What is the meaning of these words? What is the essence of this prayer? Is there something that you could change? And what would that be? You don't need to use this prayer and these words. For me, for a long time now, I have been using the set aside prayer as a way for me to access steps 1, 2, and 3 every day. It's actually been a while since I've said this prayer as part of my normal routine. I said it for years. Every day I would wake up and say the Serenity Prayer, the third step prayer, the seventh step prayer. That was my routine. And then a few years ago, I changed it. I still do sometimes lean into that practice, but I changed to really embrace the set aside prayer and recognizing that that for me covers steps 1, 2, and 3. I do other things as well, but look at the words. So I'm going to stop the screen share. You will need a copy of this prayer. So maybe, I mean, or you don't have to. If you open your big book, what we're going to do right now is breakout rooms. I'm inviting you as small groups to discuss how you would change. Now, you're not going to figure it out, but just discuss the prayer and what you would change and why and how. So in the breakout room, there are three or four people. One person volunteers to be the timer. That's what Violet was doing. You just have a telephone, don't do anything fancy, and you have 2 minutes. So the timer does a 2-minute timer. And another person, a different person, is the secretary or the chair. So that person calls on people. So they would say, Brenda, do you want to go first? And Brenda says, no, I don't want to go first. And you say, that's okay. Susan, do you want to go first? And Susan says, yes, please. All right. So if you are new and you don't have any idea what this, or you haven't done this before, I don't think we haven't given this homework. So no one has done this before. So if you're new, you're in the same boat as everyone else, you know? So just you can just show up and say, I'm new, and what you've got 2 minutes. What would you like to share about? What have you made notes on? What has resonated with you today? What can you take away from today's workshop? Maybe that is what you share. Okay, just allow yourself to be present for your own journey. This is your transformation. Show up. Show up to it. You might as well show up. What is going on for you today? So I invite you to go to these breakout rooms. I'm opening them up. We only have like 8 minutes or so, less than 10 minutes. So get snap to it. Jump in. I will stay around to help with technology, and I invite the co-host. Might do is thank you. Welcome back from those breakout rooms. I'm just going to call on Lynn for a moment. Lynn, I don't see you on the screen, but I assume you're here. There you are. Do you have the homework PDF from the admin?
I just posted it.
Oh, that's what I was about to say.
And yeah, and may I turn the chat on for folks?
Do you know what? We need to close up. So why don't we just close up with a prayer and then we'll open the chat. So I'm sorry about that, guys. Just because of the time, we're gonna close with a prayer. So there, each week we give homework. If you're not getting the homework, first check your spam, but contact Lynn, and we give a text message to remind you the meeting is happening. If you want the text message or you don't want the text message, send Lynn a message and let her know there's a problem. We're going to close up now with the prayer. Next week, we will have more opportunities for questioning around anything that we've done before, and we begin inventory. So we're starting to look at step four and the inventory work. And I open now, I took, sorry, I closing now with that set aside prayer. Not the set aside, the serenity prayer. So I call on that spirit for us to grant us the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you so much, everyone. I invite you, the chat is opening, so leave your details if you're looking for sponsorship. I invite you, if you're going, to say goodbye.
Thank
And
you.
bye-bye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
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 Thank you.
Bye. Thank
Bye.
you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. And thank you.
Bye,
Thank you.
everybody.
Thank you.
Good night. Thank you so much.